What I've done is I've sent each of you the presentation for this morning, and it's a very, very small group. So Tammy's just signed on, so there are four of us. So we'll just go through the presentation on personal power. You'll be getting two classes in September. So let me just say right now that keep your Tuesdays and Thursdays open in September from 8 to 9 Pacific time. We start with 100% full body ownership on September 8th, and that's a four-week class. And then on Thursday, September 10th, we start with the energy body. That's a three-week class. And then going into October, you'll have the quantum clearings class. That starts on October 6th and goes to the 27th. And you'll have the breast health class, and that is on the 21st and the 28th. And there'll be a free class, The Truth About Ghosts, Demons, and Spiritual Parasites. That'll be on the 31st. So those are classes coming up that you guys will be included in. I have a busy, but active teaching schedule, so you're going to see some new classes, which is really exciting. Okay, so today we're going to go through personal power. Let me just double check and see if anybody's still in the chat. I'm here. Call the phone, Tammy. So if anybody would unmute and say hello. Tammy, you want to unmute yourself and say hello?
I'm here.
Good. Okay, thanks. And then I know Nina. Lena, would you unmute and just say hello?
Hello, I'm here. Good morning.
Hey.
That's Lena?
Yes.
No, I don't think that was me. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. Yes. Okay. So Lena and Tammy, Haruko?
Yes.
Lena?
Haruko? Okay, good. And say it again.
How do you unmute it?
No, you're unmuted. I can hear you.
Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I had my staff unmute you all. So I'm going to teach you. I've sent you the email for the training. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at the PowerPoint, and we're going to go through step by step. And then I'll say, okay, I'll take questions now. And you can unmute yourself and just chat with me. So we won't do the hand raising and all that stuff, which means we just have to kind of be, paying attention if someone else is talking. So we've got Tammy, Haruko, Lena, and Nina. Anybody else?
Elena is here too.
Oh, Elena, you got on. I got the text that you weren't going to be on.
Yeah, and I'm kind of outside. If I cut off, it's just like the signal. It depends on the signal. I'm outside right now. That way I'm muting myself. But,
okay,
you're not going to hear me. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank you so much.
Well, really good. I'm glad that you're here, Elena. Then I'll forward you the PowerPoint presentation. I don't know if you'll be able to look at it as we're going through it, but you'll have it for later. So I'm sending that to you too. Yeah. Okay, and I'm not
sure.
You're welcome. I'm not sure what was going on with the live stream this morning. Our regular producer, Carolyn, had eye surgery yesterday. So we have our wonderful staff member, Tina, who's just getting trained in on the program. And since we have people not being able to see or hear, and it's probably from our end because all of you are having the same problem. So I just suggested we just make it simple rather than struggle with a new person trying to figure it out and just go to the phone line. So that's why we're on the phone. Today we're going to be working on personal power. We're going to be talking about some activations for muscles, for mindset, for the adrenals and pancreas. So we're going to be really kind of going into more of the personal power. And one of the things that I'd like you to each test for yourself is, do you have contracts with yourself, agreements with yourself to reduce your personal power? So I want you to just each muscle test, and let's get a number. Or the other thing is, how long would it take to clear all of the contracts against myself that I have with myself against myself? So you could test that too. So the first one would be Do I have contracts with myself to reduce my personal power? And that would be a yes or no. And then the second one, how many hours would it take to clear all of the contracts I have with myself against myself? And I'll just call you by name because that way we won't have people talking over each other. So, Elena, how many do you have contracts against yourself, and then how many hours would it take to clear it?
The first question, it was no, and second, yes, and it says like 10 minutes. No, not 10 minutes. Between 4 and 6 minutes, somewhere there.
4 and 6 minutes. For all the contracts you have with yourself to reduce your... Interesting. Let's see. I get 12 hours of clearing on all the contracts you have with yourself to, you know, that are against you, that reduce your power or reduce your expression. I get 12 hours of clearing. And that's just clearing all of the things that you have with yourself. And those build up over lifetimes. Just so you know. Mm-hmm. And then do you have any contracts with yourself to reduce your personal power? And I get a yes on that.
Okay.
So understand that I'm expecting that you all have contracts with yourself against yourself. So these wouldn't be, you know, satanic or demonic or evil spirit. These are things that we think, and we might think over lifetimes, but we you know, maybe under the influence of spiritual parasites when we think them, but we make an agreement with ourselves. Like, I'm going to keep my head down because my mother will beat me if I don't, or something like that. That would be a reducing your personal power agreement. And we make lots of those in our lifetime, and then we have to now clear them so that they don't have a weight or an influence on us. Understand that the field of amplification was designed to protect us and to... you know, really kind of adjust to the temperature or climate of what you're experiencing. So if you thought over and over again, I need to keep my head down, then your body would respond that way. Okay, and then let's go to Nina next. Nina, she was the first one on the call. So Nina, do you have contracts with yourself against yourself? And then how many hours would it take to clear all contracts you have with yourself that would diminish or deplete your full self-expression?
Like Elena, to the first question, I'm getting a no, so I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the second question, I'm getting under 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And let me just check for you on, you do have contracts with yourself against yourself, so that's a yes. And then on clearing all the contracts you have against yourself that diminish you, deplete you, cause you to function less than you're able to, 15 hours of clearing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening with our muscle testing today. It's interesting. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay, and then let's go to Lena.
Okay, I get a yes.
Uh-huh.
And I might be way off, but 54 hours, I think. I don't know.
Okay, let me just see. Yeah. Wow, 41 hours.
41, I said 54 hours.
Yeah, you said 54, but still, that's
a
really big number, isn't
40
it?
41 hours, okay.
41 hours of clearing. Uh-huh.
I have some work to do.
Yeah, you got some work to do, exactly. Haruko?
Yes. I got the 8.
Uh-huh.
And how many hours? Uh-huh. 4 hours.
Did you say 4?
No, 12 hours.
24?
No. I have 8, then the 12 hours.
The total hours to clear, how many is the total hours?
12 hours.
12 hours, thank you. I'm sorry. I have to clean out my ears. 12 hours. Okay, let me just check. So you do have contracts that reduce your personal power. That's a yes. And then how many hours to clear? Yeah, very close. I get 15. So there's probably just a few more things that I was looking at, but you're right on track there, Haruko. I'm proud of you. Good job. Tammy.
First question is yes. Agreement.
That's true.
I think between 15 to 16 hours.
15 to 16 hours. Okay, let me check up for you. Yep, 18 hours. So very good. That was really close. And like I said, I may see more than what you see. So this would be one of the first steps that you could do in any clearing that you do for yourself from now on, for all of you, is check and see if you have any contracts with yourself against yourself in the area you're clearing. Now, or you could just really like clean house, and if you were 41 hours or you're 18 hours or whatever the numbers were, 13 hours, you could just start clearing and clear a couple hours a day and keep it on a calendar until you get to zero. And that would probably speed up all of your other healings on yourself or your activations on yourself dramatically. Because when we come from this ground, the thought forms in your space, even your own thought forms, aren't supporting your personal power. You can see how you would be really fighting upstream, like paddling in a rushing river, trying to clear all the other stuff, if the stuff that starts with you is a problem. And I just saw this a few days ago. I just saw, gosh, I wonder why I always am testing. I can test myself up to 100%, but I can only experience it at 80%. And I started looking for why in the world. Like, the supplements will be 100% good for me, but I can only, appreciate 80% of the supplement. Or the clearing was 100% good for me, but it's only going to be experienced, I'm only 80% there. And what I saw was there were contracts that I had with myself. And when I did some research, I was looking at, well, that was when I was under the influence of spiritual parasites. So you have to think, who is the thinker in my mind? First of all, the affirmation you'd start with is, I am the only thinker in my mind. I am the only thinker in my mind. And then when a thought crosses your path, that you wonder, I wonder if that's my thought, you can muscle test it. So this morning, I had a thought, and the thought included the Mylon sheath. And I thought, that isn't something that I would think. That would be a contribution from a spirit, not an evil spirit, but like a spirit that's hanging out, putting thoughts in my head. And maybe they're putting thoughts in my head because they want to contribute and they're excited about what I'm doing, and not all spirits are evil. But just to be able to identify, is this my thought or is this someone else's thought? And when you were in particularly low spaces, you might have had multiple spirits or evil spirits or aliens, demons, whatever, contributing to your thought process. And I'll tell you what, it's the human spirits and the human evil spirits that actually feel really like us that we have a harder time identifying. But then you'd make a contract against yourself when you were feeling low. You'd think, wow, I'm just going to, like when I was 11, I remember just vowing to just be okay with being a slave. I had to clean all of the filthy parts of my house. I was, in a family of seven, and I had to clean all of the bathrooms and toilets and wash the basement floor, clean all the dishes, and clean the closets. And I had to do that every Saturday, so my Saturday was spent tidying up after fast family, like a Cinderella. And I just was, it offended me, it hurt me that I had to do that. And then there was a point where I just, at age 10 or 11, I just decided that it was okay to be a slave. And that was what I was going to do. I was going to not have it bother me that, I had to do the grunt work for the family. And so then I made an agreement with myself to, be less than myself, be less than that honor student, the, star athlete. I made an agreement to operate under the radar and to function lower than my capacity. And then, like in college, I wanted to go to college. At completing high school, I was in, the top echelon of students graduating. I was brilliant, and my father forbid me to go to college. And so I had expectations that I might go to St. Olaf's College and get a music degree. And that was where I was thinking I was going to start, was education, because I love to study. And, I had to adjust down. I married a very, very poor, impoverished farmer, and got my education by going to community colleges when I could afford to, survive and go to a little community college. So I didn't get the top-notch education that I wanted. And I had made an agreement with myself that that was okay, that that was going to be the way it was going to be for me. So I'm giving you a couple examples so that you can start thinking for yourself, well, that's true. I did, when I was feeling low, I made this agreement with myself. And you might have not thought, well, I'm making like a set-in-stone agreement. But if there was emotion involved, if there was heartbreak involved or whatever, you shifted, and that thought form became the prevailing thought form, not your original innocent, I'm going to be the magical fairy princess goddess on the planet, you know? We really do create those contracts, unfortunately, under the influence, I'd say, of the spiritual parasites. Okay, do you have any questions on that topic? Because we're going to go to the next item. So anybody have questions on contracts, agreements that you make with yourself against yourself? Anybody have any questions on that? That's a new piece of information that you can put in to your activations. Let's see, and you can put it into... I would put it into emotions, but where I first saw it come up was in bloodline. So it could either go in emotions or bloodline.
Julie?
Yeah.
Can you say the question? How do I ask the question again? For not the hours, but the other thing.
Yes. Yeah. Do I have any agreements with myself for me to function at less than my very best, or for me to experience life less than at the very best?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sure we're going to nail down a perfect wording for that. It's so new. You know, once I've said it 20 times, I'll have it nailed down. But honestly, I started working on that, and I felt like I had this real revelation for myself. There's been a kind of a level of exhaustion and grief, and I've been allowing myself to not work as many hours. We've cut my hours back. Just started this week where I'm working 4 or 5 hours a day, so I can actually think my own thoughts. And one of the things I was noticing is that I was going through some level of grief around a lot of betrayal in my life. And you may also have that issue. But it seems to be like a life path where, that's my big trauma with people every time there's someone that has betrayed me, like the woman who had me send all 5 of my manuscripts and was going to publish, my book under her name and was telling people that it was her life's work. And that was just like a huge betrayal. It was an apprentice of mine. And I would say consistently there have been betrayals. And so betrayals continued to show up in my space. Now, based on what I'm teaching now, I can clean out the betrayals. But how do you shift this one big life, lesson that you are getting? So, I want you to really be looking at who am I? What am I doing here? What are my major patterns that continue to cycle through and through and through? And then look at, did you have an agreement against yourself that you are unaware of now? So it might have not even been in this lifetime, but you can just test. So, we look at if you want to have, and Nina, I was thinking about this because I've been able to actually let my mind, dwell on things without having to work 10 hours a day. And one of the things you've asked is, how do I bring in a relationship? We've cleared the 7 stages of love, and yet on the physical level, I'm still bringing in whatever, people, unwanted people. And one of the things I was thinking about is you have to clear that life lesson for you to move up to the level of love that would allow for that. And so whatever that life lesson is about parasites, you have to clear it out of your space, like you're not a parasitical or whatever it is, you know, and then you have to clear it also out of attracting. There's a few things. We do all the clearings with the pump, but you can also sit in silence. And one of the things that I've been studying is contemplative prayer or contemplative meditation, which is in Christianity, it was authentically started in the 3rd century. And, of course, the yogic practices also have you either, the first start is start with one word like bliss or happiness or joy, and you meditate on some aspect of the divine, and you just repeat that one word in your mind. But the ultimate is to go, you know, for a prolonged period of time, 20 minutes to a couple hours in pure silence where you're just yourself. And then what happens as you sit in that silence where nothing else is contributing to your thoughts is that you're doing a spiritual detox, and you'll get the information about what is it that I'm, you know, covering over or running away from. For example, if you really like to watch Netflix, was kind of my habit this year. I've been so tired I would just go up and watch Netflix. And I'm not watching Netflix anymore. It's the funniest thing. It just was like night and day different, turned off. What am I not wanting to deal with, or what is my pain? So you could ask yourself, what is the pain that's holding me back? And then you meditate on the divine, and the pattern, it's amazing how quickly, within a few days, you get the pattern, you get the life pattern. As long as you're not, you know, distracting yourself with food addictions or TV addictions or, you know, whatever other addictions where you're distracting yourself from the pain, as long as you're willing to just allow it to exist. It doesn't mean that you need to go into depression. What I'm suggesting is that this is a path to freedom. When you can, allow yourself to be quiet, to be still, to be aware, to be one with the divine, that which is not divine wants to leave your body, and it'll start detoxing. Your body will start detoxing. And it won't necessarily be fun, but it'll be really amazing to be the witness. Rather than, you know, you might have the feeling of going through grief and the stages of grief and letting go, but the body is detoxing permanently. It's letting go in a very deep way, in that way of how do I become God? And I started thinking about this because we were in the immersion class. Of course, the students were like, I want the God DNA. Let's do the God DNA. And I was like, well, how do you manifest and hold God DNA? And how you manifest and hold God DNA, yes, you can shift up to God DNA, but if you aren't living as God on the planet, so to speak, where your vibratory signature is not weighted down with struggle, with pain, with running away from, running towards something, moving through something, being overly busy so that you don't have to deal with something, then you don't get to be in your God state. So what I've been doing for myself is very much this path of contemplative prayer, where I do 20 minutes of silence in the morning of just repeating a word like bliss or divine, and then 20 to 90 minutes in the evening I sit out on my bedroom balcony and under the stars, breathe deeply in and just have that experience of being one with the divine, and then repeating the word. And you know, it's so interesting because I still have a little bit of mind chatter, which is really fascinating because I'm identifying the mind chatter as not me, which is so, you know, remarkable to be able to get that clear, thinking all the thoughts I'm thinking are my thoughts. And I don't always think all the thoughts I'm thinking are my thoughts, but I just go about my day with many thoughts going through my head of, oh yeah, do this, do that, whatever. And I could see how this practice over a month or two, I would do it for 25 days, would really add both to my personal power and also my real ability to bring in a divine compliment. Like when I wasn't, when I had fully detoxed from betrayal, and you can do it with the quantum pump, but when you do it on this other level where there's nothing else, where you are just your God self and you've allowed it to totally detox and leave your body, it's permanently gone. And who I would attract to me would not be a person who would be prone to that behavior. Do you see what I'm talking about, everyone?
Julie Renee, I have to say this because it's almost like uncanny. A couple of weeks ago, I've started sitting down in silence meditation for an hour, either in the morning or evening, and doing what you're saying, sort of. And I don't know what guided me to do it. I just started doing it. So it's really interesting that you started doing the same thing. And I felt all sorts of symptoms. I run energy through my body in the beginning, and then I just contemplate. And sometimes it's emotional catharsis, and sometimes I'm really hot. And sometimes I just get, you know, so it's really interesting that you're saying.
Yeah, it's completely different. Completely different. It is completely different. No contemplation, no thoughts, no, it's just either you're on one word or you have no thoughts at all. You're saying that you allow thoughts. You sit quietly, but you have thoughts, right?
Well, I sort of keep repeating to myself when the thoughts come in, these thoughts are mine, but they are not me. And then I just let
those
pass.
And in this meditation, you don't address the thoughts. Those thoughts, if they come in, you just continue to stay with bliss, the word bliss. You don't correct those thoughts. You don't interact with those thoughts because those thoughts are not you, and you don't even interact with them. So it is very different. If I could distinguish it even a little better for you, what is recommended in this Christian contemplative, but it's also yogic very much so, is to read scripture before you sit down so that you have raised your energy vibration, you've connected with a divine pathway or pattern, and then allow no thoughts. And so if a thought surfaces, it just it disappears as quickly as it surfaces. So you just stay with the word bliss or the word divinity or the word, you know, charity or whatever your word is, that's the, you know, an expression of God. And nothing else. There's no emotion. There, you will feel things like I've felt weight and grief. But the interesting thing is last night, and I did bliss all day yesterday. I did bliss in the morning and bliss in the evening. And I was extremely tired last night. I was sitting out on my balcony, it's with an erect spine. And I started noticing that tingly feeling that I get when I chant. Like it felt like I was becoming bliss. I didn't step completely into bliss, and I'm not charging it with chanting. I'm actually allowing my body to let go. So I'm not, which is wonderful. I mean, when I had my miraculous breakthroughs and I remembered the blueprint in the garden, I was chanting, I was remembering God, I was calling the names of God, and I was surrounding myself with divine beings to support me. And what I'm attempting to show you is how to access your own God self, like not calling on others to uplift you or sparkle you up, but the sparkle comes entirely from the inside if you're doing bliss or charity. The warmth comes, or the love, you know, the agape love that comes from the inside. It's not outer influenced, it's from the inside. Does that make sense, Nina?
Yes, totally. Thank you.
I'm so glad you asked. And good, wonderful. Let me tell you, you definitely do not need to read this, but it's a tiny little book. It's like 140 pages, called Manifesting God by Thomas Keaton. So if you were interested in learning how to do this type of prayer, it's written by a scholar, a theologian, so it, you know, it won't be everybody's thing. I mean, he's kind of quoting things and, you know, teaching from his theological way. But I found it fascinating. And it really mapped out this very clear path to moving into God state. And we look at full self-expression. We look at personal power. We look at owning our life. And I love what we're doing in our trainings. And I'm really wanting also to point people to the path. So especially, Nina, when you said, I don't understand it. We cleared everything from the seven stages of love, but I'm just not attracting the right kind of person. And I'm really like, I'm contemplating, well, what is that that is still pervasive in your space that's there in a way that we're not getting to it? And so one of the things I saw was a contract you have with yourself against yourself. Another one is bloodline seems to be much more important than we're giving credit to. And then I think this other thing about being willing to be God and sit in, you know, this space of grief or pain around what you've brought in and allow it to leave. And I say that every one of us has a life project, something that we're working on that continues to surface, like mine is betrayal. And someone else will have, you know, psychopaths that come into them, and someone else will have low self-esteem, and someone else will have, you know, feeling disconnected all the time and, you know, not ever feeling like part of a community. And that like something that repeats and causes you pain and causes you to, you know, it's the one thing that you are active so you don't have to be part of, or you do some other whatever so that you don't have to deal with it. So it would be great if we kind of went around. Nina, we've looked at yours. Do you feel like that is the one that you attract, like the surly kind of yucky person? Is that yours, or is there something else that you feel like is your life lesson, this thing that you, when you match it, when you let go of it, you're free? What is your feeling?
I think there is betrayal, definitely, but it's also some of it is mine. It's also opportunistic people trying to take advantage.
Okay, very good. And so when I looked at, just to help everyone, when I looked at betrayal, I looked at, you know, any conversation I had that would be considered a betrayal, even if it's, she's really not doing her job right to somebody who is not the person. That's betrayal on some level. So when I'm looking at detoxifying, I'm looking at detoxifying it from my own behaviors and then really allowing the perfection of what's happened already to dissipate and not live as pain or grief or anxiety so that it's no longer in my field, that betrayal becomes not me in every way. You see what I'm saying? So it's no longer aligned with me because I'm in my God self, which is loving support. Okay, Elena, what do you have an idea of what your obstacle would be in life, your life lesson that you're working with?
Well, I'm just so happy that I'm joined this morning and I have a time and the signal is working outside. And I thank you so much because everything what you're saying 100% resonates with me. I have been thinking about what you're saying probably last 1.5 months. And probably last 3 weeks, I start thinking about, like, who is my hat? Do it my thoughts or somebody else? I was questioning myself. Because some thought it's coming, it feels like it's yours. But when you ask question and kind of asking myself, do it mine or not, it don't feel like, because it just kind of confusion was going on inside. And everything what you think resonates 100%. And probably, yes, it's, I think they have many lifetimes, and for sure. We have betrayed others, and others betray us, and kind of confusion is going on. But I think it's the time for us to heal and really get clarity and just kind of move forward with 100% clarity and healing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's time to heal ourselves.
Yes. And so do you have a notion, betrayal is mine, it's probably not yours. Yours might be
no, not mine.
Grieving death or, you know, like I know you've had a lot of people die in your life that are important to you.
I think my problem, sometimes I catch myself, I really like isolate myself. And I'm very social. I'm very social. It's just like from outside you cannot say. But the reason I'm just thinking why I want to isolate myself. It's just I'm perfectly to be lonely. I never bored to be alone. But I kind of questioning why. Why those thoughts and why I'm so comfortable when it's just I can tell when it's balanced and when it's not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is probably my issue.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm guessing, Elena, when you really start addressing it and you ask the why of it, you're going to find the meaning for
mm-hmm.
it. Like there'll be even another part of it. But just keep going.
Yeah.
Keep looking. Because I think you're going to find, like with me, it was there were a few behaviors that I just felt like, well, they're like me putting a finger in the dam, you know, like the little Dutch boy holding
mm-hmm.
the dam so it doesn't break loose. And I felt like, well, I'm exhausted all the time. Why don't I just watch movies and, you know, Hawaii Five-0 or something. I don't know. You know, just like crazy stuff
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't help me. And then I started thinking about it, and I thought, well, I'm willing not to watch it. Why am I doing it? And then there was there's a lot of betrayal. So the behavior was the first part of, like, I don't really like what I'm doing where I'm resting. I could rest reading a book. I could read, you know, like this beautiful Manifesting God or the Blessed Mother Mary, which I'm reading right now. And I could read books. I wouldn't have to watch. So why am I doing that? And the dam, the dike was the emotional pain about betrayal. And I was looking at it like, my gosh, my being, my very being wants to resolve it, so it's giving me all kinds of betrayal everywhere I look. So I had to fire, a number of people in the company because, you know, they were actually just cheating me. They were just, you know, taking money and not doing their job. And, you know, I just started looking at how it's so pervasive in every area of my life that I, now it's like come to a head and, you know, there's a part of me that wants to be out in relationship, and there's another part of me that just wants to kind of, you know, put my head down and go in the sand and go, okay, I've done enough. And it's the betrayal aspect. If the betrayal is gone, then I'm all in for life, and I could see where I would have better love relationships, social relationships. I'd be out in the world more. You know, it just would change. My energy would change. So then I'm just suggesting that there's something else. And you're going to, even you can muscle test, but you can keep your heart open the next month and just see what it is. What is that piece for you? So there'll be something.
Yeah, I think the first step is just like, I'm so amazed. Thank you so much. I think to remove that 12 hours clearing for me, it's mm-hmm. like I'm start today. Probably I have a clean 5 hours. I will do it. It's just I will count all the hours, and I think this is the first step that need to do, kind of feel much better. But what you was telling about the word that I have right now inside of me, it's like probably relationship. Every mm-hmm. time when you connect with someone, it's like it's the feeling because I'm so open and mm-hmm. so close, and it's like another relationship. That was something I need to figure out. Because
I think
that's
so too. Yeah, something.
To
it's definitely with relationships somehow. I
yes.
agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very good.
Okay. Thank you so
All right.
much.
You're welcome. Okay, Lena, do you have a notion of what it is that might be holding you back? And by the way, let's everybody who's on that Google Hangout, let's all sign off so we don't leave that equipment running. Okay. So if you just want to close out your browser on the Google Hangout. Webinar Jam, just go ahead and close the browser out so we're not on that anymore.
Okay, I have a question. I wonder, is there going to be a replay for this call or no?
Yeah, this is recorded. Uh-huh.
Oh, it's recorded, okay.
Yeah, we're on a phone line that's recorded, and you each got the PowerPoint presentation. So you'll just have it as an audio with the PowerPoint. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. I think mine is the trail and believing myself, daring to stand
in the world and showing who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very big for me.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get what I said? And safety.
Yeah, I think you're 98% accurate on that, so that's very right on. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, and Haruko, do you have an idea of what your kind of your life lesson or this life struggle that you're working with is?
I think I need to receive more loving. Somehow that I couldn't. I love people, but somehow I cannot reach. I don't know.
Okay. So in other words, the deep connection never really happens. Is that what you're saying?
No, relationship.
Relationships, right.
I cannot do. I don't know that I haven't reached that. That I go, well.
Right, I understand. So there's something, and then we look for when you haven't reached something, that's an indicator that there's a grief or a pain that prevents you from reaching it. And so then you'd look for that repeating pattern. So that's like maybe a couple rungs up from the bottom one. Maybe there was a betrayal or an abuse or something with a core relationship in this life or another that keeps you somehow outside of the deeper relationship. One of the things I was looking at, Haruko, for myself was I had a boyfriend this summer, and he just wasn't the right person. He was a sweetie pie, but he didn't read books, and he didn't go to the opera or the symphony or the ballet, and he'd never been on a hiking trail, and it got to be that I was Miss Entertainment, and he brought nothing to the table. And so I was looking at that going, well, that'd be interesting to have a relationship with somebody who's just going to be an escort and just admires me. And he said, oh, you're such a big opportunity for me to be with you. I'm just going to do anything I can to be around you. And I became the opportunity, not the sweetheart or the love. I was his opportunity. And I was looking at, well, how do I get to divine compliment? Because I've got nice men in my space. And I had to look at, well, what's the overall feeling, not necessarily with every person that I've ever dated, but what's the overall feeling in my life that I'm afraid of in relationship was betrayal. I mean, from very early on, my mother, my father, my brothers and sisters, my ex-husband, you know, you just go down the line, you name it. I had these big lifetime betrayals with everyone, every single person. I mean, I just like everything. You know, so it's like I magnetize it until I can clear it out. So when we look at that, you haven't achieved the deeper love relationship, and you have to look at, was there some abuse? Was there betrayal? What is it that stimulated the, whatever it is, fear, what are you afraid of, that doesn't allow you to step into the next level of relationship? Because when we are our God self, we are love. You know, we are unconditional, radiant love. And we magnetize. When you think about the times that you've really been on track, the times when you've really, really been present, those are the times when people are so magnetized to you, when you're laughing and you're happy and you're sharing. People just can't get enough of you, right? And that's when you draw the beautiful people to you. And those moments may be few and far between, or they might be quite often. But you have to look at that. What keeps me from being in that every minute of every day? And then what do I need to detox or let go of? And then there are two steps. And one step is to go through all of the clearings that I've shown you how to do, from amplification to bloodline, and add this the agreements I have against myself. And then the other is this sitting in silence and allowing all of that which is not you to leave from your very core, from your very essence. And we can clear down to zero on spiritual parasites, and still, you know, there'll be things that contribute because we think they're part of us. And so when Alina was saying, I've been thinking about my thoughts, and some of those thoughts I don't think are mine, and it's been somewhat confusing. So understand that we've been clearing evil spirits. There are spirits that don't register as evil spirits that contribute in our head. And so you'd have to have a new standard that said, I want no contribution from any spirit without permission. And so in the past, we might have even deemed them as spirit guides and angels that were helping us. And now we'd have to make a new kind of rule that no one, I am the only thinker in my mind. I am the only thinker in my mind. And that new affirmation helps you distinguish, is that my thought or not my thought? And do I want to be distracted down that rabbit hole? Because if I am God, Goddess on the planet, then I should be able to, emanate and control my environment, emanate love, and magnetize to me that which I want. I mean, powerful beyond measure is God, Goddess on the planet, without interruption, without any influence to the mind. Does that help, Harukal?
Yes, yeah.
Wonderful. So glad you're on the call. Okay, Tammy.
The only thing I can come up with at this time is, because I'm starting to work with it, trying to start clearing it. I've always felt my entire life I've been criticized and judged or not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a bit.
Okay. And then we just, it's probably right in there because we have to look just a little bit further. So if you're criticized and judged, what's your response to criticized and judged? Is it pain? Is it, it's the pain of being misunderstood over and over and over again? Is that what it is?
It's definitely a distinct visceral response.
Uh-huh.
I don't take kindly to it because I don't want to hear it. I've had it my entire life. I'm done with it. Because it's kind of like telling me what I'm thinking is wrong and I know it's not, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm getting something else. It's like maybe invalidation. Constant invalidation, that you don't get to be the authority, you don't get to be recognized as yourself. You're just constantly invalidated.
Yeah, that's a very good word.
Yeah. Okay, I get a 100% yes on that one, by the way. So I think I think we've gotten to the essence of it. So very good. So each of you now, as we've kind of talked this over, this would be something that would help you to step into your personal power. You're going to, clear the hours. If you have, the intention to really step into more power, you would clear the hours we've identified. And then you'd go through amplification to bloodline on the very specific topic that we're talking about. And then if you wanted to take it even to the next level, this sitting in silent meditation, repeating one word, not interacting with passing thoughts, but allowing them to just dissipate, not talking to them, not saying, you're not me, not anything, just staying with one word like bliss or love, some expression that would be a godly charity, peace, serenity, ease, joy, any of those words, just meditate on one word. Don't change words. In process, stay with the same words throughout the meditation and start with like 20 minutes once or twice a day. And that's enough if you want to try this practice. And what I'm going to say is this practice, it really does take some devotion and some dedication, but it will allow you to step into a God on the planet kind of status. So you will have a transformation that will make you powerful beyond measure. I mean, there's when you are willing to just sit with yourself and allow that which is not you to fall away. And that's what this does. This detoxifies you. So I am adding a how to meditate class into the fall schedule. I believe it's going into November, and it will have four different styles of meditation that we'll be training on. So that might be a class that we get you guys involved in too. So we can just not just do the guided imagery, but we can give you several other ways to manifest God and, you know, get into your confidence, your certainty, your magnificence. So that is getting added in. Okay, any questions before we move on to the next section? Okay, so the next section, we're going to be doing clearings, so you want to just start pumping now. And we're clearings for personal power. And we're going to be clearing Lucifer stops, soul contracts, demonic, evil spirit, and satanic curses, cycles, timelines, and karma. And when we look, by the way, at spiritual parasites, spirits who are collaborating with you don't show up. So if you get to zero and you don't test them, and yet you have other thinkers in your mind, that's because they're not evil spirits. They're spirits that have somehow formed a partnership with you, and that's why you didn't see them. Good to know, right? Yeah. So we're pumping for clearing personal power, and the specific things that we're working on today, we're working on, again, muscles, mindset, adrenals, and pancreas. So we're just working on a few specifics with personal power. And I don't know, how many of you feel like your muscles have diminished in the last few years? Like they're not as strong as they used to be?
I do.
Yeah.
Nana.
Yeah. Okay.
Elena too.
Elena and Nana. Everybody else feel like you're kind of status quo with your muscles? Interesting. Okay. Tammy, do you feel like your muscles have stayed the same in the last few years?
Last few years? Well, I've been dealing with a lot of health issues, so I'd have to say no.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying diminished. If you have had health issues, they would have diminished some. Okay. And let's see, Lena. Did you feel like your muscles have diminished?
Yeah, I feel like mine have diminished.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And Elena already said yes. And Haruko and I. Did I ask everybody? I think I did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, Haruko.
Haruko, do you feel like your muscles have diminished in the last few years?
I'm no doubt. I don't know if I've ever heard of status quo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I can just muscle test and see, did your muscles diminish in the last few years? And I got a yes. So we'll just pump for that. We're going to clear any blocks to the muscles being at full strength. And then, like we've been talking about at the beginning, we're really looking at what mindset we can bring in. Also, adrenals. You know, when the body gets really taxed, it's one of the reasons I felt it was really urgent for me to slow down my schedule is I can regenerate the adrenals, but if I don't give my body the time to really rest and heal and not be in everybody's trauma, that my adrenals were not going to be able to continue to perform for me well. So sometimes you have to actually make physical accommodations to, you know, like take some time off or whatever that is. And the adrenals, of course, are in the power center. They're in where the third chakra is our will. And so the adrenals and the pancreas is also in our power center, and that's the blood sugar. And early on in my life, and maybe some of you have experienced this also, I had hypoglycemia, And I would faint. Young wife, I would faint all the time. So I'd be out, you know, at a garage sale, and I'd be on the ground. It was, like, awful. And so if you've had hypoglycemia, you know, or, you know, I don't know that diabetes has that same, I guess it does. You have diabetic insulin reactions that take away all of your personal power. So those are the things that we're working on today, on personal power. And in the Quantum Mindset Mastery series, we talk about really making a decision. So we'll talk about mindset while we're pumping, and we'll just, you know, use this time to really explore some ideas that we've already talked about in the past, and it's just nice while we're clearing to really re-put them in our mind. So decide, commit, take action, and succeed. And those are really to make a decision and then commit to it with passion. So bring your fire back into, bring your fire into the decision. And just because you've decided and you've brought passion into it, you can't just meditate on it and make it happen. You actually have to take outer and inner action. So the decision and the committing might be the internal, might be, you know, you really seeing it happening, but then you have to also take action. And then when you do succeed, I want you to actually market that you've succeeded. Somehow you've got to celebrate your success. So for the first time, I finished training the online immersion, the Diamond class, and I went out and celebrated. I went out and had a nice big dinner and a glass of champagne. Believe it or not, I had a glass of champagne and a big dessert, a chocolate dessert. And I just said, good job. You made it through 7 days of grueling teaching. It was wonderful. The students were amazing. And I'm going to, like, celebrate this. And then I did a brain regeneration the next day. Yes. But, you know, it's like really being able to say I've succeeded, so that you put a cap on it, you've celebrated your win, your body starts getting used to the cycle of I set out to do a task, I brought my passion in, I took the action, and I was successful. And you have, if the body never has rewards, it doesn't mean food or alcohol, it means somehow that you celebrate when you win. This actually is really an important part of being balanced and living a happy, successful life, is to have the whole cycle. So when you're setting to a task or a goal, you also want to, you know, set up opportunities for celebration. Does anybody have an example of that? Something that they took on, they brought their passion in, took some action, and then a celebration in the last month or so that you've experienced? Okay. All right. Focus and follow through. This is, again, this is on the Quantum Mindset Mastery training. And so when we're looking at, like, for example, we're looking at bringing in personal power. And, you know, when you have a lot of incompletes in your life, you can see how it's bad feng shui in your space on some level, and that your power is diminished. As a matter of fact, I was thinking that that might have been part of the reason I was so fatigued, is there were a lot of incompletes. And so last night, I went to a little Mediterranean restaurant close to my house, and I kind of mapped out the things that were incomplete from my end about, you know, I've written, I guess, 13 manuscripts, and quite a few of them aren't out yet. And so I wrote down all the names of the manuscripts, the different programs that are partially done but not finished, the book covers needing to be changed before we publish Your Divine Human Blueprint and 100% You formula. Anyway, I brought one of these big pads. You know, it's like double the size of a regular pad, and I kind of mapped it out, and I wrote like 8 pages on this big pad of, you know, all the social media and marketing stuff I have and how I'm not using it or using it, ideas that I'd like to do, like TV and live stream for kids and a book called The Bride of Christ, a trilogy, on a little girl named Veda, record all of my compositions. I've got over 40 compositions. You know, and understand that when you have, and I'm just looking, the pad is in front of me. When you have a lot of incompletes and a lot of stuff weighing on you, you really do have difficulty focusing and following through. And what I'm saying is you map everything out on paper so you get it out of your head, and then you pick one thing at a time. You follow through, you complete it, you celebrate the win, and then you do the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And no one really taught me this, and I'm a fire starter, so I have 7 planets in fire. And I would do a painting, but I would never frame it. Or I would write something, but I would never have it edited. Or I would, you know, do crewel embroidery, but I would never turn it into a pillow. So the completion part was missing for me, and the completion to celebration was missing for me. So I knew how to manifest, I knew how to create, but I didn't know how to follow through to completion and then celebrate the win. So it's something that I'm establishing in myself, but that makes me powerful beyond measure again, because I'm not hanging out there with just all these things that are kind of done. You know, the idea of having a completion and putting a ribbon on it or putting the whipped cream on it, the celebration afterwards. So can some of you think about how that would make a difference for you if you actually went from mapping out all the things that are on your plate to do and then picking one thing at a time, taking it through completion, celebrating it, and going on to the next thing? So how would that change your life?
It would be a lot easier to live.
Yes. Yes.
Much easier.
Exactly.
You don't have to think about it all the time.
Exactly. And, you know, that brings up a really good point, Lena, which is you're not thinking about all these things all the time. Those are spiritual parasites reminding you.
Mm.
So when you test, when something keeps looping in, so if you take it out of your mind and you put it on this, maybe it's 2 whiteboards and you just have 2 whiteboards up in your garage and they have everything that you possibly are thinking about that needs to be completed, then you take it off and you say, I'm going to take one at a time, I'm going to complete it, I'm going to celebrate it, I'm going to finish, and then I'll do the next one. That's kind of putting an end to permission for them to be there reminding you all the time, right?
I'm actually excited about it.
Yes. That's fantastic.
When you say it like that.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, and another thing along this, which we've talked about in these first two, is getting your fire back. And, you know, I was listening to an inspirational sermon by Joel Osteen, and somebody's got some music going off. Can you mute yourself, whoever's got the music on? Thank you. So I was listening to an inspirational talk by Joel Osteen, and if you're interested in this guy, he does like their 30-minute boosters, spiritual boosters, really. It's very Christian-based, but they're not, you know, he might quote the Bible 2 or 3 times in a half an hour. He's really kind of more of an inspirational, motivational speaker with a spiritual kind of bend to it. And in one of his talks, and you can just put his name in the computer and you'll find Joel Osteen, and he's got hundreds of half-hour talks. And they are on all different subjects. But basically, it's kind of winds down to the same thing. It's like, get your fire back. God loves you. Even if you've had bad things happen to you, it's really in divine order and something wonderful is just around the corner. And I like it. I mean, it's a little lightweight for us because we really dig deeper in and say, well, how do we clear this? You know, not just God's going to fix it, but we're going to take action too. But one of the things I heard from him in a number of his talks was on getting your fire back. And my fatigue level had been pretty high, and I had been dealing with so many people with really significant problems that I was starting to kind of lose that fire, that internal fire. And, you know, when you want to bring passion into something, and we talk about you have 50 projects that are undone, where can the fire, you know, go if in your mind you're always thinking about all 50 things at the same time, feeling bad about yourself that you haven't lived up to your own expectations? And when you take that off the plate and you write, map it out, and you say, this is what's going to get accomplished, and it's all going to get done in the next, you know, if there's 52 things, you're going to get it done in 52 weeks. Or whatever it is, I'm going to do one thing till the end, celebrate, and do the next thing to the end and celebrate. And it's no longer, you're no longer defining yourself as I'm incomplete, I'm stressed, I'm overwhelmed. But you're now efficient, and you have a method. You have a way that you're going to follow through, and a way that you're going to live a more powerful life. So it really does calm down the chaos and allows you to step into more power, more certainty, and eventually allows you to get your fire back. You know, can you see doing 3 cycles or 6 cycles like this? You're going to get on a roll. You're going to get your momentum going, and you're going to get your life back. I think one of the things, while I was writing all these books, I said, I don't want to take other ideas from other writers into my books, so I'm not going to read for a while. And so I hadn't read any books for a few years other than a couple business books, you know, on internet marketing conversion, things like that, that wouldn't influence my thoughts around spirituality. And the last few months, I've just really missed that. And getting back into the momentum of reading spiritual books, I've actually read 3 of them now. And each one has really touched my heart, and I'm so ready for it. But when I tried to start reading, it was like I didn't have any momentum. You know what I'm saying? And so it took a little bit of time. I even pumped a little bit of, you know, this is like the perfect alignment for me now. And now I'm reading a book. I've that 140-page book in an afternoon at the spa, you know, and just being so touched and inspired by what I read. And then going on to the Blessed Virgin Mother Mary. It's a out-of-print book. But it's talking about, and I'm so excited, talking about Lemuria, which is right here off the coast of California, the Pacific coast, and it was originally a continent, and some of that continent is part of this area. So you guys are coming here, and we're going to take you to land that is considered Lemuria by all the mystics here, only about 10 miles from my house. That segment of beach is, you can feel a whole different energy. And reading about the mystery schools in Lemuria. And so I got the momentum going, and it's like a win for me, you know. And then I take out the things that are most precious in each reading, and I'm making notes, and I feel like I'm back on some level. Like, oh, okay, I wanted to get that started again, and I got it started again. And so it's not an incomplete for me anymore. It's in progress. Do some of you have things like that that you'd like to, like, get your fire back and get back on track with reading or painting or dancing or exercising? Are there things that you'd like to step into more personal power in some area of your life where you want to get the momentum going?
Yes, of course.
Lena, yes. Okay.
Yeah, well, for Alina, yes, I do. I notice it's like you get bored with so many things to do, and I've been thinking also, oh, my goodness, I need to get passion back. Like, even little things, I can do it, I can accomplish, but I notice I don't have a fire inside. It's not like before, mm-hmm. and it's just so nice to get it back. Yeah.
I mean,
even, it doesn't matter, little things you do, I don't have a problem with celebrate. It's like even little thing, end of the day, end of the week, I like to celebrate and celebrate myself. But I notice struggle that I have passion to do things with love like I did before. This is kind of have been lost for some reason, and I really want to gain that back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, mm-hmm. yeah, I love that you're talking about that, because that you might notice that when you map out all of this stuff that's on your plate and all of the activities, like I'm looking at what are the things that I promised myself years ago that I haven't yet done? Because you can start feeling pretty flat if you don't keep your word to yourself. So in other words, in addition to the things that you have left undone that are like finish the book or, you know, put the website up or whatever those things are, but then there's also the things that I promised myself 30 years ago. I promised myself, and so those will get on the schedule in the next 2 years. One is going to the Egyptian pyramids, and I had promised that to myself 30 years ago. Another was going to Machu Picchu. You know, this writing The Bride of Christ, that was something that I promised myself I would do, write a story about the women of Jesus and their roles, which, you know, it was like the Mists of Avalon was written about the women of King Arthur's time. I wanted to write a book on the Bride of Christ and on what happened back then and write it kind of as a novel, but a kind of an accurate novel. But I promised myself that and I didn't do it. And so you can see if you break promises to yourself and they're just left out, you either have to say, that's not a project I'm interested in anymore, and you have to clear it, because it's a contract you make with yourself. The going to Egypt and the going to Peru, those are contracts I don't want to break with myself. I want to just put them on the schedule and go. You know, like I'll find a tour group and I'll go if I need to go. The other one was going to the Holy Land. That's another one that I wanted to do. And another one that I've wanted to do for years is there's a convent in France, in Chartres, that takes Westerners for a month of contemplation. And I have really wanted to do that. So there's like these things hanging out that I made agreements and said, oh, this is what I want to do, and I've never done them. That can take away your fire. You know, when you disappoint yourself, you can actually take away the fire. So think about, Alina, think about what is it that you promised yourself, and it might not be a going thing. It might be an experience thing, like really experiencing deep love. I promised myself in this life I would love passionately, and, you know, maybe it might not be that. I'm just making something up, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a doing thing. It could be an experience.
No, yes, you. Everything you're saying resonates 100%, and I can see some little steps, and I already started doing that. It just kind of more invest time in myself than others. And I know that I started getting, and I put myself, I know started getting that passion back. It's probably a balancing that I've got in my life, who has priority and looks like priority first. If I do that, I feel I have passion and
Good. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And you're fading out a little, so we're going to go to the next person. But I love your contributions. I love what you're thinking about. And hopefully your signal will come really strong again really soon. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. And who else?
This is Naina.
Yeah, Naina.
And I have always loved making lists of things I had to do ever since I was in school. And I was generally good at accomplishing them, and some of them would take longer, but I would still keep them on my list, even if it was years and years and years, unless I decided it's not what I wanted to do. However, lately, I've got a whole lot of things on my list, and I was very fired up, saying, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do 1 hour a day on this, and 2 hours a week on this, and I mapped it up so clearly, and then I don't know what happened, and usually I'm very disciplined and focused, but I don't know what happened that I just couldn't get around to doing them. I just stayed in bed all day, and I just ate a lot of things, and every day I would wake up saying, tomorrow, today I'm doing this, and the passion was there, but I just would be distracted by TV, and it just started getting very upsetting because it was very pathetic. It's not something I normally do. I always accomplish things. So I don't know, maybe on some point I was resisting, and obviously with the cravings and the eating, it could be spiritual parasites. But also another thought, something else I felt that occurred to me, rather, was that maybe I have been too disciplined in life and I need to chill out. So I'm a bit confused as to what's going on in terms of why I cannot move forward and spend all my time in bed.
Well, I think one of the things is it's, you know, I always come back to this with you. It's really about balance. It's not about doing. It's about having balance. And so maybe doing is an activity, but more it's like looking for a genuine experience. And I can't help but feel what we're talking about with going to that next level of sitting in silence, you know, and also being active in the world will really make a transformation for you. I think that we just keep coming back to, for you, it's really about balance. We've got to get you on a level where, you know, you have your social life, you have your career, you have your workout schedule that you do, you have your meditation and your spiritual life, your community. It's, you know, those pieces seem to, most of the time, most of those pieces aren't there. And so life, you know, it's just for you, I'm just saying the balance thing is so, so, so extremely important.
Okay, great.
Yeah. And anybody else having, you know, being swept up with some wonderful ideas here?
Hi. Hello. Hello.
Yeah. Haruko.
I think I need a passion. Passion. Because if I want to, okay, that when I wanted to come to, you know, get out from Japan, I did it. I determined. I just do. If I determined, I do no matter what. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my personality. But somehow, I lost kind of passion, kind of. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, something that I really, really want to do. That's kind of, I lost the zest or motivation.
I understand what you're saying. So what do you think blocks your passion? I mean, when we're talking about this, could you see taking on, you know, making lists of incompletes and things that you promised yourself that you didn't follow through with? Could you see that that might help start bringing some passion back?
Yes, right now that I'm just need to focus on this class, mm-hmm. So I'm just focusing on that. You know, I really want to study whatever I need to study,
mm-hmm.
for this class, so that I'm doing my best. But
yeah. So could you see making a list of all of the things that are incomplete? I do get that, because it could be that, you know, right now, everything that's incomplete just goes on a list and it doesn't stay in your head anymore. You might not implement anything on that list right away. That might be something you do down the road. But that you take all of the things you promised yourself that you haven't fulfilled, and you take all of the things that are not done and you just put them on a list. And then you decide if they're important to you or not important to you anymore. And you can clear them using the clearings from amplification to bloodline. You can clear them if they're not important to you and you want to take them out of your field. Or you can say, I'm going to work on one thing a month, and over the next 5 years, I'm going to clean off this list. So it's not in your head living as depleted energy, like you have so many things in your head and in your body that are disappointing. So you take it out of your head, put it on a piece of paper, and decide, is this something that's still important to me? If it is, I'm going to put it as on my list of things I'm going to complete. Or if it isn't, you can clear it So you have to clear the agreements with yourself and any other people that you've made agreements to, and just remove it from your field so it's no longer there. It's not something that you revisit and think about, oh, I should do this. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes.
Very good. Yes. And then I love that you're focusing on this class. This is perfect because you're in this class. It's really perfect timing. So that's perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anybody else with a notion or an idea about what it would be like to get things out of your head, get things on a list, or bringing your fire back, what you would imagine would happen? Anybody else want to comment? And we're continuing to clear. We're clearing all of the things that block personal power. We're clearing the muscles, the mindset, the adrenals, the pancreas, and power centers in the body. So we're just continuing to pump for that. Anybody else want to contribute to this one, or we'll move on to the next? Okay. The next one is disciplined imagination. And with disciplined imagination, you are actually, instead of allowing your mind to go wander from here to there and everywhere, like that free-floating, oh, I'm just going to sit and let everything pass through my mind and pay attention to everything, you're actually disciplining your imagination. So it was actually, we started talking about that with the Thomas Keaton's Manifesting God concepts that he was suggesting and I'm working on, which is the contemplative prayer. But if you thought, as you go about your day, I'm going to accomplish two things or five things today, and you didn't let yourself get distracted by 20 other things you remembered, you just put them on a list to put on a priority for another day. So disciplined imagination is allowing your mind to think about a future and the present in the most positive way. And disciplined imagination isn't necessarily being ooey-gooey or wishing something. It's really just, you know, not allowing your mind to go down all kinds of rabbit holes. So, an example might be, you know, when I was getting extremely overtired, it's like, oh, I need to help get something done for the funnel people. Oh, I need to write copy for the blah, blah, blah. And, oh, I need to blah, 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 blah. And, the laundry needs to be pulled out. And, oh, there's ants. I need to get the dishes done. And so there's no kind of rhyme or reason to how things are coming at me. They're just all coming at me like, oh, everything needs to get done. Where what I could have done is mapped out, you know, this is how I will accomplish everything today. Just map it out on a piece of paper if you're exhausted. And I'm going to get three things done or five things done today. But also to keep your mind, the higher part of this, so that's is to really keep your mind focused on the positive, not let your mind wander onto the negative. And when you really are focused on, it's all coming together. And, you know, when I map things out, I could imagine what it would feel like to have all of my 13 manuscripts up on Amazon and being a bestseller. And, you know, we're already selling in every country. So I'm getting reports from like 11 different Amazon sites on the sales that we're having in all the different countries. It's not a lot of money. You make a few pennies on a book. But it's really fun to see all the different countries that people are buying the books in. And, you know, just imagine having all 13 of them up there. That feels really good to me. So if I were disciplining my imagination that this would all come to completion, this would be done. This feels good. I think another thing I put in place, the Diamond class that just went through, they loved singing. So while we were clearing, we sang. And first day, it was so funny. We're broadcasting on Google Hangout through Webinar Jam. We got a notification that we weren't allowed to, you know, put somebody else's music out. And I was singing Jai's song, You Can Relax Now, Open Your Heart, who I know personally. I mean, he used to live in my neighborhood, and I love that song. And we were singing it. We got scolded. And they said, hey, you have to sign a release that says you have permission to sing this song. So that was kind of funny. So then from then on, we only did mantras and my compositions. Well, it turns out I have like 40 compositions. So we were singing all of my songs the whole time, and people really love the songs. And it occurred to me, you know, I have a few music CDs out that I could record all of them because people really love them, which meant, you know, I started imagining myself playing harp every day, getting a grand piano in here, doing vocal warm-ups, and 6 months or a year from now, setting up, 10 recording sessions and getting all the songs recorded. And it started living for me as real, like, oh, this would be so fun. I could get my chops back. I could, you know, chops back meaning get my range back, and maybe I'd even sing in a choir. There's a choir that keeps asking me if I'll sing with them. So the disciplined imagination allows you to follow through and complete and fulfill something. And I think when you're feeling overwhelmed, when you've got that gigantic list in your head, which I had, there wasn't a possibility that I would complete any of this because it was all swimming in my head and nothing was getting done. When it gets out of my head and it's now on a piece of paper, you know, on 8 pieces of paper actually, you know, who can I enroll to help me? What's the priority? What is important to me? What do I really want to follow through with? And I get my power back. I can see how some of my fire came back just by that action, you know, just by mapping it out. Let me just test and see where we're at with clearing. About 70% through on the clearing. Okay, and then the next one that is on the list is the gratitude fortifier. And I know some of you are really, really good at really activating gratitude. I want you to really remember that gratitude and appreciation and love are really in your field. So the more that you are grateful and appreciative, the more you magnetize goodness to you. And if you're flat, or for me, I was looking at, you know, I am grateful and I am appreciative and I will say it, but that actual feeling of gratitude is a really interesting thing. And if you've been betrayed a lot, your level of gratitude is diminished because it'll be tempered by what's in your field. And so taking on clearing betrayal, my field of gratitude can really amplify because there wouldn't be something tempering it. So do some of you see how, you know, you could amplify gratitude? I know, Elena, you're so good at gratitude. We feel your bubbly appreciation all the time. Can some of you see how that maybe is diminished on some level by a life challenge and that something that you could work on clearing? Tammy? Do you have any comments on that?
No, I don't.
Okay. And so when you're going about your day, you feel like gratitude flows from you and it's easy. It's easy to thank people for being amazing in your life. I'm asking this specifically for you because you felt invalidated. So if you felt invalidated, it would be hard to validate others. Do you see
it's much easier over time? I mean, mm-hmm. It's much better than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I feel like a lot of my stuff is tied to my health right now, so it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to exude energy for someone else, and I'm having all I can do to deal with my own self.
Right, and that's what I'm bringing to the surface. I'm saying that, you know, when you clear invalidation, that you feel invalidated by others, and then you can also clear invalidating others, meaning you can't be present and really appreciate or validate them in the way that you'd like to. So you clear it from yourself, and then you mm-hmm. can clear it from others. So you can do that field of amplification down to bloodline on the clearings. The other thing, Tammy, with you is feeling your emotional tanks. And we talk about this infrequently, but occasionally, where it's so good to really feel yourself before you're, you know, offering anything to anyone else. And so my decision of I'm exhausted and I love everyone and I want to stay on that plane of really being able to give to people, so I'm cutting back my hours for a while so I can fuel my own emotional tanks. Been to the spa twice in the last 2 weeks and had a whole spa day at a really elite spa, and read a book and had a facial, and I've had a couple of massages and sat at the pool and had food served to me and iced tea and whatever. I just was pampered. And those, for me, that is a really an emotional fueling time for me, you know. So you want to fuel your tanks with whatever. It could be, I love walking on the beach, and that makes me feel so happy that I'm able to give to others. I feel like I've done what I need to do for myself. So what things do you do to fuel your emotional tanks?
I do feel like I do pretty good for the most part in that department. I mean, I'm working with a naturopath, and we're getting closer. I feel like just recently, within the last 2 weeks or so, that I'm starting to pick up steam. So, I mean, a lot of it right now is nourishing my body and getting it to function the way it's supposed to. So I don't
okay.
feel like...
Okay, does eating food, because it does for a lot of people, does it fuel your emotional tanks? Because I'm thinking, like, things that you do socially, things that are creative, are the things that, like, you're talking about fueling and nourishing your body, but I'm actually talking about what brings happiness. I mean, like, food for me, it's really fun, and I eat it, but that isn't going to be fueling my emotional tanks per se. It is fueling my energy a lot of times. If I'm depleted, it'll fuel my energy. So is food like an emotional fueler for you?
Well, that's what I have to focus on. But I'm my own best company at this point in the game, because being out and about, it takes too much for me just to because I work in the bodywork field, so that takes a lot all by itself. So being by myself is kind of like my best company, and it's what helps me kind of recoup.
Okay. And do you be by yourself on the beach or walk on a mountain trail? I mean, like, what is it, not just your company, because that doesn't fuel your tanks. So what fuels your tanks? And you might not know, or you might need to do some research on that. Like, what is it that my energy really raises and I feel really happy? I feel really full. Might be singing, you know, might be chanting.
I can't answer that question, so.
Okay, so that's homework for you. I want you to just look into that. Okay, anybody else who could see that? Maybe some life experience that they've been going through has diminished their gratitude fortifier, and that if you did some clearings in all of the things that we've been talking about today, if you did some clearings, that you could access more gratitude and sparkle up, make more power in your field. Lena, I feel you. So are you thinking something?
Yeah, I know. The list is very important for me.
Mm-hmm.
To start moving things, do things, to get going.
Mm-hmm.
But I have so many things that I haven't done for years, and I know it's weighing me down.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I just have no sense for life. It's like, I don't know, it's like, I just feel like it's almost like I'm quit. I want to live, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, who cares? Come on, life.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm saying this, my head is just going warm, and
mm-hmm.
I feel sad, very sad.
Mm-hmm. So for you, your first focus is to make the list, and then to look at what's still a priority for me. So you're actually making two lists. You're making one of, you know, these are all the things that I need to do. And then the second list are maybe the things that I made a bunch of different lists. I made one of all the, I kind of mapped out what was left in business that wasn't done, and what I wanted to do. I mapped out things that I promised to myself to do, and mapped out what was still important of those and which ones I would do. And also, what would, you know, I started thinking, well, what would do it for me? Like the balance, the fulfillment, the transformation. What do I imagine my best life would be? And I started, like, journaling peace, walks in the wilderness, a time at the beach, playing the harp, parties, friends over, laughter. Finally, it all comes together. The house paid off in 4 years, $1 million in investments, a new car, a bigger closet, reading, social calendar, theater. You know, like I was looking at, and also on that page on the opposite side, unfulfilled promises, Egypt, Machu Picchu, fulfilling divine partnership, and a resolution on miscarriages. I had 15 miscarriages, so, you know, some kind of a resolution, whether I adopt children or I release the desire. So a social calendar. Yes. So,
that might be it for me too. Or I've had 4 miscarriages and I feel a lot of panic around that.
Yeah. And so that's fantastic that we're talking about that, because that is something that just is an agreement, a contract you have with yourself that you agreed and it didn't happen. And so there was an unmet expectation and it lives in your field till the end of your days unless you either remove it. And you can clear the karma with the babies, but you either have to remove the desire to have children, or maybe you look at, can I adopt, or can I be a mentor to a teenager, or, you know, how can I complete this so that the agreement is completed? So one of the things I've been really looking at is, can I do 20 hours of work a week in front of the computer, and can I adopt 2 small, you know, infants or something? I mean, I don't know if I can. So that's what I'm looking at. Is it possible that I wouldn't be working night and day and I'd have the space to raise a couple kids? So it's just... What I'm saying is you just have to look at, do you have the possibility of fulfilling it? Is it still important to you? And if it's important to you, can you make it happen in some version? And if it's not important to you, please take the time. It might take 20 hours to clear, but take the time to clear it. So those unmet expectations, they just sit there and they deplete us. They take away our power. So I want you to really be just kind of with yourself. It's not necessarily something you can instantly say yes, no to. You might not be in the financial position right now to adopt a kid. So I get that. But is it still important to me? If it's still important to you, then create a plan. Can I be a big sister? Can I mentor a teenager? Can I, you know, like when you create something, can I work at the Boys and Girls Club or be an after-school resource or, you know, something where you fulfill that need to mother. And it's either important to you and you fulfill it or you let it go. But anything that we have just hovering in our space continues to hover. And for me, I had made a decision in my mind as I was looking at things. I have a beautiful home. You know, my work is fine. I have the space. I need to make a decision in the next few months. So by January 1st, I'm making a decision. Is this still important? And start the adoption process or let it go. Just clear it. One or the other. Is it important? Or do I want to mentor teenagers? You know, that was another thing that might be very fulfilling and wouldn't require, you know, the rest of my life to raise children. So please give some time to this. Really, like, do some soul searching on this. Is this still important to me?
How many hours do you think it would take to clear my karma with the babies?
Well, clearing the karma with the babies you could probably do in an hour. But clearing the significance, the agreements you have with yourself to have children, 12 hours. So, you know, you have a lot of things weighing on you around the children thing. I'm sure it's part of the family pictures, too. And, you know, so, you know, 12 hours would clear it all.
Okay, but now I'm, like, thinking, I've thought about that for many, many years. I thought I'm getting older, and it's too late. And now I'm like, okay, now it's kind of like I have I have what you call it. I have given in to, okay, I'm too old and it's too late and I can't do it, and it's fine. Because now I'm thinking, I don't know if I would want to put children to this world as it is right now. I just feel like it's too scary.
Yeah.
So that's thinking. And of course, I feel like I've lost out. And I think I don't go around and think about the babies, but I feel a lot of grief when I start talking about it. It's like, I don't know if that's why I can't move forward.
It very likely is, and that's why I'm saying you have to take the time to clear it then. Do the 12 hours. And my suggestion, because, you know, I probably will take the time to clear all of this so that I can look authentically from present time. And I think as I'm talking with you, I'm like, that's, of course, that's the next thing to do, is just clear everything. Clear the expectations, clear the karma, clear the loss, clear the betrayal, clear the whatever, the sadness, the grief, the, you know, having all those babies that never came into bodies was really hard on me. I'm sure it was hard on you. So clear all of that. And then once everything is clear, you can really look at where you are in present time. Because when you have all of that in your space, then you aren't in present time. You have all of that influencing you. And when you clear all of that, you are in present time. And then you can really look at what's important to me now. Will this make a difference with me? Will it make a difference with the children that I bring in, whether I adopt them or I mentor them or whatever? But clear the decks. And so for each of you, if you've got some kind of an expectation, whether it's unfulfilled with children or relationships or whatever, I'm going to say take on the time to clear those expectations. Like what I've suggested when I did all the karma clearing with like 200 people in my life, how my life got so much more in present time, that I was able to be so much more myself because I took the time to clear and that I was in present time with everybody. And, you know, I reached out and I did phone calls to 56 of my relatives in 3 days. And I talked to 56 people and told them that I loved them, that I was sorry that I was out of communication with them. It was nothing about them. I just moved and, you know, it was careless of me not to be in communication with them. And then I loved them. And of all those 56 people, only 2 people were upset with me. And everybody else was happy to hear from me. And from that, a few of my aunts continue to write me every year, like 3 or 4 times during the year, because I reached out to them, and that was like 10 years ago, because I said, I love you. So they continue to send me little notes about their grandkids and how much they love me. And so understand that you can repair things, get in present time with people, and then people get to be part of your life again. So any comments on how life would change if you stepped into clearing things that are unmet expectations? Can you see how things would change?
This is Naina.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what my unmet expectations are. I guess if I were to guess, I would say not having had a fulfilling romantic relationship, not having been able to sort of experience that. But other than that, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that I somehow lack clarity on what may be blocking me, and that's perhaps because of overwhelm. You know, there's so much happening, I guess, in my field. There's the spiritual parasites. And then there is my own mindset and my own sort of pain or shadow self from the past. And so it's really confusing to sort of work out what do I clear in priority.
But you can just start mapping it out the way we've laid it out. You know, first of all, get everything out of your head, which you haven't done yet. So you're referencing, I'm confused, but once you get things out of your head and you have a few quiet days of meditation, things get a lot clearer. Things really do get a lot clearer. So you're in midstream, and maybe that is one of the things. Maybe there's grief around the, you know, unmet expectations of relationship, and you need to clear that. And then let me just test and see how many days it would be, or hours, or whatever, how much it would take for you to clear all of that unmet expectation around like a divine complement soulmate kind of a person. 33 hours. So that's definitely something where you could really clear down to zero, and
yes,
you would be a fresh start. And I think the same thing about the contracts you have with yourself against yourself. I think that would be extremely important to
okay.
clear. Yes, we're looking at, you know, like you're asking really good questions. The Facebook questions, I went in, I was unable to see some of the questions you had written a few months ago, but I was able to see them like yesterday. For some reason, they were hidden to me. But the questions you're asking are really good. It's like, how do I, you're in the conversation of how do I bring in a divine compliment, and why on the outer world does this stuff show up? And we're now looking at, well, why is that? You know, what in your field magnetizes to you confusion or psychopaths or whatever that is? And then the roadmap, which I'm giving you today, the roadmap, map it out, get it out of your head, understand that who's talking in your head isn't necessarily you. And so, and it might, the reason it wouldn't show up as in spiritual parasites and pests is because they're actually what we used to call spirit guides who have some kind of agreement to stay with you. And so you can clear all of those out too, not like attack them, but they say, you know, thank you, you've helped me, I no longer need your services, and be certain that you no longer need their services and send them on their way. Then when you hear a voice like I did with Mylar Sheaf this morning in my head, and I thought, wow, that's not something I would think. And I thought, that's got to be a spirit that's been contributing conversations in my head. And sure enough, it was. And I, you know, said, okay, it's time to leave. And my mind got quieter. So understand that we don't go after in the No More Pests and Parasites. And I will, in the future, I will give people the opportunity to say, and you likely have spirit guides who are not evil and are not pests, that are there, you know, sharing in the conversation with you, and you may not want them there anymore. So those would be things that aren't harming you, but aren't necessarily moving you forward. They're sharing your experience.
Yes, yes, because even when I pump, and I've done so much work on my head, and I'm working on it on a daily basis, mm-hmm. but I still get, like, severe pressure in the head, and at some point, I'm sure it will release. It's just a mm-hmm. matter of time.
Yeah.
But thank you. That's very helpful.
You're welcome. Okay, and anybody else seeing the possibility of, you know, really stepping into more power by, you know, re-examining, first of all, getting everything out of your head, looking at the agreements that you made with yourself, moving into clearing things that would prevent you from being in full gratitude. So we've covered a lot of really important steps on this path to full self-expression, full honoring, and stepping into your power, which is really we're looking at what holds you back. So any other things other than miscarriages and perhaps the desire to have a divine soulmate complement, anything else, like something that's an unmet expectation that really needs to be resolved for you to be clear and move forward, whether it be end that thing that exists in your space. It might not even be active. It might just be more muddle in your head. Anybody else have something that's there?
Sorry, it's Nina again. Now that you mention it, I have one more thing which may be relevant to other people that I've always sort of desired because I've been spiritual always, is this ability to, I've always sort of had this very strong desire, which is currently unmet, to really know the divine and be with the divine and be able to sort of access him consciously,
yeah,
and subconsciously. And, you know, I've been sort of working on my intuitive abilities and my gifts opening up, and you know, right now it's just not happening. And I've been trying and trying and trying. It's a bit like the Divine Compliment Project.
On some level, yes, and on some level, no. What I suggest that you do is clear any agreements with yourself to block yourself from having the connection with the divine. And this looks like four hours of, you know, agreements to not have that connection. And then the sitting in silence without any other conversations, you know, focusing on bliss or God. You could just focus on Abba or, you know, the name of God, whether it's Father God or Mother God or divine bliss. Because when you clear and then you are, you know, manifesting God inside you, meaning that you're focused on the divine, then that can happen. But when you have agreements against yourself to have this experience, then you won't have that experience. And when we look at divine complement soulmate, how many agreements have you made with yourself? Oh, that guy's scary. I don't ever want to do that again. You have 4 hours of clearing on just, you know, being able to have a divine complement, meaning you have contracts with yourself or agreements with yourself. Ooh, that's not safe. And so you'll have to clear the decks of that to actually even be in the possibility of having the divine complement.
Okay, and when you say clear, you mean...
Yeah, just pump. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you mean clear agreements and contracts only or go through the whole field of...
No, I'm just, really, it's just, it actually is technically an agreement because you haven't written it out very likely. Agreement you've had with yourself. We went over this earlier. When you have an agreement with yourself, it might have been made under the influence of spiritual parasites. And it'll be an agreement, you know, it's not safe to put myself in a vulnerable place with men, so I'm never going to do this again, or, oh, this caused me so much pain. And you think it over and over again, so it really builds up some amplification in your field. It's a thought form that really builds. So you had some terrifying experience, and over again, you're telling yourself, which is a spiritual parasite, you should never have done that, you should never have done that, you're not safe, don't do that ever again, it's better to be alone. You know, all that stuff got built up when you were terrified or whatever. That has to be removed.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'll do that.
Yeah. Did that help anybody else on the call? Anybody else, like, having a revelation now going, oh, my God, that's me too? Okay. All right, so we talked about the gratitude fortifier, and we're going on to the next one, which is habitual excellence. And this is, I think this can really happen easier when you've kind of taken all of the stuff that's kind of muddle in your head, and you've really taken it out and put it somewhere where you can say, I'll deal with this each one at a time, I'll finish it, I'll celebrate it. But habitual excellence is choosing to be excellent every day and making it a habit and choosing to practice excellence in everything that you do. And so, for example, if you had a list and you were like, I'm going to complete this and I'm going to, and you make a roadmap for it. I'm going to complete this. Like I'm going to make a decision about whether I change the cover or not on your Divine Human Blueprint. I'm going to add 10 top-notch endorsements, book endorsements, and I'm going to add Jack's book endorsement to the cover. And I'm going to have this up into CreateSpace and back on Amazon within 3 weeks. And I'm going to map out who's going to support me in getting that done. That's habitual excellence. That's taking it and not doing a shoddy job or saying I'm going to do it when I have a chance and doing it by hook or by crook, but really mapping out what's the path to having this done at top notch. And then that other element for me was, and then make a magnificent book page that really helps people understand what they're stepping into when they buy the book. They're going to have a really good description. They're going to have a couple of videos, and they're going to have a book chapter, and they're going to really feel like they have an exciting journey ahead when they buy the book and read it. So habitual excellence might be in the way that you take care of yourself, like Tammy is saying, I'm really working with a homeopath and we're getting it down so I'm understanding what I'm eating and how to nourish myself. So that would be excellence. That would be saying, I'm committing to this and I'm doing it for myself. So can some of you see how you could step into more excellence in particular ways that you care for yourself or that you do your work or your meditation or your exercise? Can some of you see how you could step it up a few levels? How many of you have an exercise plan? How many of you exercise daily?
I do.
Elena.
Elena, good. Good.
But, okay. Yeah. I'm agreeing with the plan. I need to do more. It's
yeah.
like, it's the step, it's dedication, but also it should be, discipline. This is
yeah.
what mostly, without discipline, it's very hard to do it. I mean, you need to do it and kind of push yourself. And after that, it takes time. But if you discipline every day, it becomes natural. It just, you don't need to push yourself anymore.
And it's kind of exciting too, isn't it? When
mm-hmm.
when you're not overwhelmed and you're like, this is my rule. At 6:30, I meditate from 6 to 6:30. I pull on my gym clothes. I go down into my workout room and I work out for 45 minutes or an hour. And Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I lift weights. On Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, I run. And you just have your rule, and it's what you do, and it's who you are. And it becomes a habitual. It's a habit of excellence.
Mm-hmm. But I also notice end of the day, when you discipline and you do your routine, I feel for myself, it's like self-love. I love myself more, and I'm so proud of myself end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel happier. It's just kind of, I'm much happier. If I need something, end of the day, it's just it's something missing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do it, it's just how to keep that flow of the happiness mm-hmm. for yourself, too.
Mm. And, you know, I had suggested, but any time of day, but I had suggested at a beginning of day, because at end of day, sometimes we have social events and parties and, you know, things that need to be done with family and things like that. But if you can work it out where you get it in every day or on the days that you want to, then that is perfect. So
mm-hmm.
I know for me, when I get up, if I do it before the day gets rolling, that works for me. But whatever works in your schedule, whatever it is that really, and honestly, exercise for most of you, I'm sure you've discovered that it releases these wonderful endorphins, happy endorphins. So just by getting your body moving and your brain starts releasing the happy endorphins. So it amplifies the happiness in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Good, Elena. Thank you. Anybody else on habitual excellence? And then, you know, the last thing in the quantum mindset mastery that we talk about is really affirming power beyond measure. And when we're, all of the conversations we're having today are on the, you know, what blocks us from our power and how do we step into more power? And so by everything that you're willing to do, every, you know, minute that you're willing to commit to clearing, to sitting in silence, to taking action and writing the lists and, you know, mapping out an order and all of those things increase your personal power, that power beyond measure. And when you think about power beyond measure, what is it for you? I know when I worked with Jack Canfield and I did his brain regeneration and had his 12 weeks of check-ins, Jack was thrilled. But later, a month ago, I got an email from Jack saying that he loved and appreciated me so much and that he was just on filmed on Oprah Life Class. It was going to air in October. And he said, and I've increased my influence on a global scale exponentially. And then he listed 12 other things that had improved since we did his brain regeneration and how grateful he was. And so for him, you know, this power beyond measure was increasing. He was gonna cut back and go to halftime a year ago. He was, you know, 70 and just he had been on the road too much and just exhausted. And with the brain regeneration, he was actually able to turn things around and is working more than he was working last year and feeling very happy and energized and was just noticing how everything had increased so much and wanted to let me know that things were much better for him. So when we think about power beyond measure, what is it for you? So maybe no one has an idea of power beyond measure. Does anyone have
everything I'm here for, I feel so fulfilled. And everything here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I wanted.
Nice.
Okay. Summarize everything I wanted.
Yeah. That's true. I think if we put a name to it, for me, power beyond measure is fulfilling the intentions that I've set out, like the Nobel Prize and, you know, one of the top women-owned companies in the United States and Fortune 500 top companies to watch, contributing to 5 million minds, getting the movie, the Harry Potter movie, I'm going to give it a name really soon now, something like Veda's Journey or something, but getting that out into the, you know, first of all as a script and then getting it out into the movie form. I mean, that to me is power beyond measure, but also this kind of physical, internal, I can create whatever I want, having a kind of financial security, you know, having a family around me, whether it's the birth family or new family that I bring in, that's power beyond measure to me, because that's really, for me, power also has a love component or a love element in it. So, Haruko, you're right. It's like everything that you desire, wish for, long for, when you're in that space where it's generating and creating. So all of me, all of what I have imagined for myself is power beyond measure. You know, when you can really step into it and own it. Like I say that we're all probably, you know, at some portion less than what we think we can be. And then it's really, I think this is such an important class, because the ability to identify what is it that I'm up to in this life? What have I made agreements with myself to do that I haven't done? What agreements have I made with myself that are harming me now? And like clearing the decks and really authentically stepping into a kind of power beyond measure, where you are yourself, and that you're not running off of any old programs, and you're really actively creating the life that you had imagined for yourself with your disciplined imagination and are now free to do. I think one of the things, if I can so impress upon each of you, is that the more space we have to give to ourselves in this way, the more powerful we are. So the more you can gift yourself with the clearings, with the mapping things out on paper, with the actual implementation, with the celebrations, with, you know, being grateful. This is where you're going to really step into a kind of personal power. Sitting in, if it's your goal to have a more divine connection, sitting in silence 20 minutes twice a day. Maybe you're just repeating bliss or divine love or something where you're really resonating and, you know, experiencing the divine emanating in yourselves, becoming one with you. So we're really looking at how do we increase not like the power that the world thinks is power, but this kind of personal power, this spiritual power, this power of the self manifesting into God, or the self becoming the fulfilled essence. You know, we all come with an idea of what we want to accomplish in this life, right? And some of us are more clear and some of us are less clear on what it is that I want to accomplish in this life. But we all have kind of this thing that needs to be fulfilled. And then we all have our big life challenge, which we were talking about today, minus betrayal. Maybe it's, you know, not, you know, we had another one, which was invalidation. And another one, never being with, love, a divine love. So whatever, there's some bigger things to fulfill. Maybe an unresolved wanting to be a mother or not being able to fulfill being a mother or something like that. That might be one of your big challenges. And when you take it off the plate as just sitting there in unconsciousness, unfulfilled, and you put it into action, I'm going to fulfill this, or I'm going to clear this. And I'm going to say, even if you're going to fulfill, if you see something that you're going to fulfill, I'm going to suggest that you clear it, not to eliminate it, but you clear it so that you can create from present time. And that allows you to step into a kind of power that we're talking about, power beyond measure. Okay, so we cleared amplification. We cleared personal power in perception. Let's see. So we cleared group mind virus, curses, black magic, atheist thought forms, etheric body. We cleared timelines. We cleared trauma from past lives. And we cleared emotions. So emotional thought forms, shared energy, cords, contracts, agreements, karma, timelines. We cleared the etheric brain and the emotional body. Those are the things that we've cleared so far. In DNA, we've cleared the DNA, DNA from transplants, and we've cleared bloodline. And then let's see here, because we've been pumping away. Let's see if we were able to, without intention, clear some of this. So did we clear? We cleared satanic or dark energies. We didn't clear ghosts. We didn't clear evil spirits. So we didn't do any of the spiritual parasites related to personal power. So why don't we, that, by the way, if you're looking at your PowerPoint, is slide 5. So I've just kind of backtracked to slide 5. It says personal power, but it's spiritual parasites on that page. And so we'll be clearing satanic, well, we cleared the satanic or dark energies, but from the next one down, from ghosts, evil spirits, we'll just do a nice clean out on personal power and removing these critters. And we can also add just spirits, you know, just clearing out spirits that were formerly considered spirit guides or friendly. So we can clear them out too if you want to. I'm definitely going to do that.
Julie Renee, I have a question on these slides. Is the amygdala included in the emotional brain?
Yes, or it is. It's part of the emotional brain.
Okay, because the reason why I ask, I've had like 3 clients overall complaining about anxiety, and one of them I was...
Okay, but let me slow you down. Anxiety won't come from the emotional brain for the most part. It comes from spiritual parasites.
Oh, okay, because I normally would just do a normal clearing, amplification, and then...
Spiritual parasites for anxiety. And once you get all of them out, definitely do the amplification down to, because sometimes there's like an evil spirit curse or something. And sometimes there's a sword left in somebody from another lifetime. They're killed and the sword stays in their body and comes into the next body. And that'll be the place where anxiety shows up. So if somebody has a stabbing pain, and actually you can remove the sword from when they were killed in a past life.
A sword? Okay.
A sword, like a, you know, like a weapon. Yeah.
Right.
So, okay. And I don't really see anxiety. You know, the emotional brain, the amygdala, is the pre-3 emotional training of how you would respond. And since, you know, my mother had a mental illness and then had 5 kids in 7 years, I literally got no, you know, emotional cuddling or comforting or anything. So for me, the emotional brain, you know, I'm working on building a divine nature, but it certainly didn't come in the amygdala. Now, medical science says that the amygdala cannot be recalibrated, but I'm going to say that everything can be recalibrated. And for me, what, you know, when you start with that and you look at that and you say, okay, because we're looking at personal power, if I were betrayed, even by the mother, like my mother, I believe, beat me and sexually abused me. I have visions of that even as an infant. It tied me into the bed, you know, left me screaming for hours. You know, she just wasn't capable of being a mother, and yet she had 5 children in 7 years, which is, you know, whatever. So that's when the amygdala is formed by age three. I wasn't communicating and I wasn't speaking at age three. So that is how they think, you know, the medical science says that's how you're going to emotionally respond to things. And I'm looking at, you know, the thing that's gone over and over and over, replay in my life, is betrayal. And that probably started, you know, at birth. It probably, it did. I was the twin, and my mother starved us. She gained 14 pounds with her pregnancy with me. And the brother I had left the womb at the third month because two of us couldn't survive together. And I was born without some bones and muscles. So I was born with some congenital defects. My colon isn't fully developed. There's a bunch of parts of me that didn't fully develop because my mother was starving us. So that's kind of a betrayal right there. The brother left that I was a twin to, and then mother starving me so that I couldn't get a full, you know, a full developed body. So then I look at, for me, betrayal is the thing for me to clear. And that the emotional brain can then go even to another more peaceful place if betrayal isn't an issue. Like I go to my God state there, I can clear it that way. Is that helpful?
Yes, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you also for telling me about anxiety. So clearing the sword, I just pump for that and set an intention.
Yeah,
and it just,
exactly.
Yeah.
You can test for it and see. I've seen it quite a few times with people who have a kind of fierce anxiety, and you get the sword out, and then you can clear the spiritual parasites, and it's over forever. They don't have it. There wasn't really something wrong with them. I think the anxiety condition, if you look, it's mostly spiritual parasites and sometimes traumas that are still left in the body from past lives. And so you clear those, and they're done. Anxiety is over. They never need another tranquilizer. They're relaxed. They stop that sweaty freak out. It's over. It just stops. And it's so fun to witness. It's just really fun to see that happen.
But don't the spiritual parasites keep coming back? I also clear the program so they don't come back. Okay.
Not the ones that cause anxiety. No, I mean like the ones that are, were plugged in, you get rid of them. You actually pump them, you know, you might have to knock them down four or five times, but then they're gone. I mean, the programs are gone. The sword or whatever it was that was bringing all that stuff, pulling it in, is gone. You help people live in balance and find happiness every day, and their energy changes, their chemistry changes, so they're not really attracting that kind of being, that anxiety being. So funny, when I teach a big class for a long time, once in a while I'll have like a sensation, like somebody on the class will be someone who obviously suffers from an anxiety disorder, and I'll feel anxiety for an hour, and I'll go, oh, I must have picked up some spiritual parasites from that person in the class. And I just clear it. And, you know, it's funny because I can recognize it as, well, that's not me. I don't have those feelings. So I can say that's not me. I don't have to, like, imagine it's me. One of the things that you have to work with your clients on is helping them understand, hey, when you have anxiety take over you, it's not anxiety taking over you. It's spiritual parasites taking over you, and you can say, that's not me. If you do it right away and you really believe it, that, oh, no, you don't say, oh, no, here comes the anxiety attack or here comes the panic attack. You say, oh, interesting, that's a spirit. That's not me. That's not me. I'm not in agreement to this. I'm happy every minute of the day. And that's going to make a world of difference in how quickly they get over it.
Yeah, my challenge now would be, she's only 25, and while she's spiritual, I don't know if I should scare her and tell her about spiritual parasites. You must have gone through this transition, you know.
Knows. Yeah, no, she knows. I mean, if people have spiritual parasites, they know. And you don't have to go into a lot of detail. It's just like, oh, some bugaboos, we'll just get rid of them, you know, but they're, you know, it's not you. And, I mean, that's the good news, it's not you. I mean, if it's you, you know. We fix it too, but it's not you. So that's really good. You're not doing this to yourself.
So, yeah, I'll put a positive spin on it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And honestly, if somebody's got spiritual parasites, they know. And they might not know the words for it, but they like, I wonder what that is. You know, and they're like, well, that can't be real. But they already know because they've already experienced it. So just understand that anybody who has, you know, and I'm just always blown away, even the straight-laced people, you're talking about weird things, but I know it's true because it feels true to me, you know, so even really straight-laced you know, powerful business leaders. I've told that to, you know, men. And they're like, yep, I believe you. Got to be true because it feels true. So everybody kind of knows, but they just, there's nobody talking about it. So I think the more that I do kind of publicize it, I mean, we're just opening up a door of let's call a spade and let's, like, you know, have 5 million minds agree that we don't want these things here anymore.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm looking forward to her session with me now. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay, so currently we are clearing spiritual parasites from personal power. The next steps, we could do cellular neogenesis on the muscles, the adrenals, and the pancreas. And we have about a half an hour left of class. We're going to end a few minutes early because we didn't take any breaks today, so we usually take a few breaks. So probably end at 10:02. We'll just get what we can get done. This would be a good time while we're clearing spiritual parasites if you had some questions. And we have, since your original diamond class, we have identified ghosts as being more of a troublemaker, so you always add that into the clearing. We have identified spirits that aren't evil spirits that will show up as parasites. And we've also identified things like seeds, mechanisms. Embedding was a new one that we identified. You were taught about spiders and snakes, which are one of the forms of aliens. And we identified that there are 8 versions of aliens that we don't go into their personalities because we don't want to give them any importance, but just to say alien type 1, alien type 2. We're identifying more and more. We're getting clearer and clearer. I think the thing to do, it's a little bit of a mystery, and it's kind of, for me, it's kind of fun, because I could tell, I cleared all the spiritual parasites and pests, so all the aliens and evil spirits and entities and demons and transmortals, and yet I could hear things in my head, and I'm like, well, I know those aren't my thoughts, so where are they coming from? And then you have to look at what agreements did I set up with angels or spirit guides or gods and goddesses to have chats with me, because they'll continue to chat to you, and you still won't have complete authority or sovereignty in your body. So that's one thing that I'm just really wanting you all to understand, because I'm just getting it. I want you to get it too. And then the thing that you want to really test is when, especially when you clear aliens, did I clear every part of how they're connected in, how they tap in? Because if you clear the alien but you don't clear the seed mechanism, embedding, implant, if you don't clear the whatever allows them to get back in there, and also there might be some agreement you made with yourself that you need to clear, then they can keep resurfacing, or versions of them, so other things that are in that category can keep resurfacing in the same area. So there's a seed or an implant, something that's embedded, a talon, you know, like a claw. So you need to test, even when you've cleared, you've got to zero. Then you need to test, did I clear everything that allows them to be their meaning, mechanism, seeds, implants? Because we might not have identified every name. I got embedding. Recently, I got embedding. So I think we've done embedding for about 5 or 6 weeks now. And I didn't understand embedding because I thought implants covered embedding. And they don't. And seeds and mechanisms are somewhat different. And so just understand that we're really always on a quest. So if you actually discover something that I haven't given you, fantastic. So if there's something else, like something called, you know, Hooga Booga, and that's part of how they come back, then Hooga Booga, we clear that too. So, you know, it's a bit of a mystery. We've identified a lot. I believe in the next year or two, and I think part of it is group mind, is that we can clear to zero and we can maintain clarity. And this is why I'm experimenting with the silent meditations. Because I think when you give no space for a being other than yourself to live in your body for a prolonged period of time where you silence everything in the body and you, you know, silence everything in the aura, and you go into your God state on a daily basis. I believe that we can get to the point where we have a tipping point, where we have enough people that, you know, on a daily basis don't have spiritual parasites coming back, that are free and clear. And I'm saying spiritual parasites, but all beings that enter the body. I believe that we can get to zero. And then it would be a conscious, yes, I do want to hear from this goddess or Jesus or Mary or the angel. I do want to hear from this one. So on occasion, when I say I want to hear from them, they have permission to communicate with me. So where you really take charge of yourself, and then you're not closing off the door to the divinity and the divine beings who are helping, but you close the door to, you know, being a sponge for every single thing that's floating by.
Hang on. So when you start, it's Naina again. When you start clearing for spiritual parasites in a session, and it's a 1 hour session, now, sometimes, obviously, as you know, that to clear spiritual parasites down to zero may take a while. And if it's not finished in the 1 hour, is it advisable to stop and then start again for next session? I thought we could not do that.
You can, but it takes 7 to 9 hours to clear all spiritual parasites. So you'd be unrealistic to think you could get it done in an hour. It takes 7 to 9 hours to clear all spiritual parasites.
In 9 hours. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
That's interesting, because that's why I've experimented with a 7-hour class, that we could at least get everybody to zero in one fall swoop in one day. But it's a marathon day, so, and why are you clearing all spiritual parasites? Is that what they've asked for?
No, they haven't. I was just going to test anxiety.
For anxiety. Oh, yeah. Well, you could clear all spiritual parasites related to anxiety, or all, you know.
Yeah.
That would be good. Yeah, rather than all spiritual parasites, because that's a whole bigger project.
I see. Thank you. Thank you for the difference. I hadn't appreciated that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's just a big job, and then people will hold you accountable when one spirit comes back. If you clear it to zero and they spend 7 hours and 7 hours of money on it, and then, you know, the next day they've got 20 in them again and they said, you did this for me and now it's not clear, they can be pretty distressed. And so I don't necessarily recommend that you, you know, spend all of their session time just clearing them to zero, because they haven't learned how to clear it for themselves. And you know, there's going to be spirits coming back, especially when they're people who are new to this work, where they're not doing the dynamism meditation, which is, by the way, if you've got people who have spiritual parasites as an issue, and you're helping them clean up, and they say, what can I do on a daily basis? Walk in nature. And you can sell the dynamism, just set up a link with Marlene, and you can, you know, have a 50% profit. We've got a JV partnership set up now, so you could just say, I'd like to sell, you know, products from the website, and we'll just, because you guys have done the diamond class, which was the first one where we did actually initiate you as, you know, people who could sell. So if you want to do that, then they could upload it, and then you'd get 50% of the
Yeah, how much is the dynamism? I'm going to recommend that to her.
Yeah, the dynamism is a series. You know, it's like a two set CD. It's $49.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's you know, one part is training. It's the part from the Human Blueprint, and the other part is like an hour. It's really an incredible hour of meditation. Mm. So that would be good. But yeah, if you want to actually earn a commission, you have to set it up with Marlene to, you know, have the JV thing. So it has to go through your own link. So just set it up with Marlene.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ginny Renee?
Mm-hmm.
Can I just
yes.
ask another question in relation to another client? And this is about nut allergy. Where do I start looking? When I tested, I felt that it was to do with her biochemistry somewhere, as well as her bloodline. And so do I just focus on those two? But biochemistry is so wide.
Yeah, we don't actually say biochemistry ever in any of the clearings. So, yeah, you could check in DNA and bloodline. I would do the whole clearing because allergies are oftentimes from abuse and violence, and, you know, then we get oversensitive to things in the world. So, you know, you want to kind of do some research on that, and then it's often in the DNA. So past lives might be one of the issues, bloodline and DNA. Or it could be DNA from, you know, a transplant or something like that. But it's often, allergies are often in the DNA.
Yeah, I got DNA. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It could be past lives as well, right?
That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to be completing in about 3 minutes. Does anybody have any questions about anything we've covered today or comments? This would be the time. We've got about 3 more minutes.
Is this recorded? Or?
Yeah, it's recorded. Huh? Recorded, and you each have a PowerPoint with the, you know, the next step. So if you want to do the cell regeneration on the muscles, the pancreas, and the adrenals, that would be the next directions. But it's all in a, yeah, it's all going to be, it's voice recorded and in the PowerPoint, so you'll have it that way. I actually like this format, you guys. I like being interactive with you. It's quite a bit to teach for 3 hours to a small group on a chat box, so I like hearing your voices. It feels really good to me. We're about 70% clear on the spiritual parasite issue and spirits things that would deplete your personal power. So you'll want to continue to pump for about 20, 25 minutes to get that to zero. And you can test yourself because that would be the group overall. So there might be some of you have more and some of you have less. And then, like I said, if you wanted to take the next step, then that would be the regeneration process. And it's on your PowerPoint in your email box. Everybody got it who's on the call.
So and then, what is it that we're clearing right now again?
Spiritual parasites that are interfering with your personal power.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then so you'll have the PowerPoint presentation, and I'm not sure how quickly the audio link will go out. It will be, you know, pretty immediately ready, but I also know Marlene is having car trouble, and she's the one who sends it out, and they've got some kind of a family thing that they have to deal with this weekend. So it'll either come later today. We'll send it on to her with the PowerPoint presentation, but it'll certainly be to you by Monday if it doesn't get to you immediately. So don't worry if it doesn't get sent right away. Like I said, she's our send-out person.
Just before you go, I'm just looking at slide 10, and it talks about chakras, 1 and 3, golden rings, and aura. And this is something we do after the regeneration. We just pump for these.
No, you can check because those are slide 10. Let's see. I'll just go to slide 10. So that's after regeneration. Those are additional things that you can check to improve on personal power, restoring your power in the energy centers. So chakras, especially 1 and 3, those are personal power. So it's survival and will. So survival is number 1 and will is number 3. So you can test and see if they're at 100% and you can restore them. Golden rings you can clean up because sometimes golden rings will get kind of muddled. And then the aura, you can clean out your aura. So that would have been another step that we could have done in the personal power. I created this PowerPoint 3 weeks ago, and the topics we covered today, especially in the first hour and a half, I think are so poignant and so important that I feel like those are going to help you even more than going through and doing some repair on the chakras or the aura or something. So my feeling was that we went right to the heart of things, and we really went into a deeper conversation about that. And you have this guide, so you can you know, tune everything up around personal power by using the whole slide set.
Okay. And when clearing the aura, we just pump for personal power specifically, or just clear the aura to optimize it and then just pump along?
Yes, you can, but you can clear things like violence from the aura or betrayal from the aura. You know, in the class on chakras and the aura and human access portal and golden rings that we're going to do in September, we'll spend a whole hour on, you know, how to approach the aura on a deeper level. But
okay.
You can, because every day you do actually do the clean out of the aura by washing it out, but then how do you go to the next deeper level? And that's by picking particular topics and seeing what's lurking in the aura. And so, like when I said I spent 3 days clearing violence from my field, that was my aura. And how people were so loving to me after I did it, and everybody saw me, and they were all just sweet, and everybody wanted to help me. By clearing out my field so profoundly, I became myself. Like, people could see who I was, and they were very sweet to me, which was quite the opposite of the reaction I had from people before I did that. So that would be something where you could do that. You could clear out, you know, diminished energy or control energy from people, someone wanting to hold you down, repress your personal power, family control energy. You could clear that kind of stuff out of your aura, too.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Okay, Tammy, any questions? Okay, Elena, any questions? Oh, maybe everybody signed off. All right, everybody, have a wonderful weekend. I love you, and mark your calendar for all those extra classes in September. We're going to keep you busy in September and October. And
so you will get a notification by email, right, about that?
Yes, you will get notifications, but I thought I would tell you right now so that you can put them on your calendar. They start the 8th and the 10th of September. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
Yeah, very good.
Thank you
very much.
You're welcome. Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Haruko. Lots of love.